As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You'll be the best and you got to pay a little price. If you want it bad enough, you got to do a little extra things to get it.
Welcome to the 11 Personnel Podcast, your favorite Rams podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Rodrigue, and with me, as always, my fabulous co-host, Rich Hammond. Rich, how are we doing?
Jordan, it's good to be back. I know you got a little bit of time away. I said I was going to do a podcast without you, and then, you know, life happens, right? I think everybody understands that. But it's great to be back. We've got some stuff to talk about. We've got the Super Bowl coming up. How has it
it's
been
crazy.
Here?
I know.
Jordan,
it's crazy.
I know you process this at a totally different speed than I do, but can you believe that? I mean, it's been now actually a couple of days more than a year ago since you were in SoFi Stadium covering the Super Bowl. And I know what experience that was for you. And a lot has happened over the last 12 months.
Yeah, I keep flashing back to, I mean, it was all such a whirlwind. It was so incredible, right? Like, what an amazing experience. But I keep flashing back to the day after, and then it was after, like, Sean McVay was in, like, some sort of zombified state at his morning press conference, which is so cruel that the NFL has those press conferences at 7 in the morning after the Super Bowl. It's insane to me. And I had gone back to the team hotel or the like where all the media were staying, and I had sat in the lobby with about a gallon of coffee and written my follow up, which kind of took people through what the after party was. And that was wild. Yeah, saw Prince Harry there. That was insane. there was just like a lot of things, right? So yeah. I was kind of going back through that and like rereading and just like sort of reliving some of the memories, which is, it's again, it's crazy. And it goes by so fast. It happens and it's over and then nobody cares anymore. I mean, people care, but like the league keeps churning. I kept thinking back because it was such a, from about January of 2021 when they traded for Matthew Stafford to all the way through the next February, mid-February when they won the Super Bowl. It was an all out frenetic, high stress, high anxiety, day in and day out sprint. And that's what Les Snead always would say, wake up sprinting, don't be scared. And I keep flashing back to my drive home after spending like almost a week and a half at that hotel in downtown LA. And I was sitting in my car in traffic going through Hollywood, of course. And I just started, like, I felt myself sinking lower and lower and lower and closer and closer to the steering wheel. And I was like, what's physically happening to me right now? And it was like that feeling of I don't even know what I would call it, dread almost. It's kind of like, what happens now? What do I do now? What is, you know, what does life look like now? And I'm sitting here now, of course, with the benefit of hindsight. Now we've seen the 2022 season and what happened to the Rams. And I'm like, if that happened to the person who writes about them, imagine what was happening to the people who were actually doing this shit.
Right.
So I was like, okay, you know, I'm very empathetic to the extended crash. And then their celebration went on. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm a journalist. I don't do any of the celebration stuff. The after party was fun as hell, but like, I don't do any of the celebration stuff. And their celebrations went on and on and on. And then, so when do you crash from that? And kind of like the extended crash of what that Super Bowl season was, I will be honest. I mean, physically I could, this year it happened. It was something I couldn't control. The effects of that hit me like a ton of bricks. And, in a way that was like a pretty much a big wake up call, frankly. And so now I'm empathetic to kind of, it brings you perspective of like a very small piece of what a whole collective of people are probably going through. And then I think about people who went to other teams who did experience it and then maybe then went to other teams or had different, you know, like Odell doing the rehab or like whatever. And then I think about what they must have been going through, because at least when you're going back into the same building every day, everyone else is going through the same stuff. Like you can, you know, commiserate together and like lean on people who are going through what you're going through.
Right.
And I don't know, there's a whole, it's a whole complex dynamic. And this week has definitely brought back a lot of those memories, a lot of those feelings and a lot of that consideration, I think of, you know, it's very, very difficult to fully and significantly recover from that experience for the best reasons, but it's just, it's crazy to think about it. It makes everything make so much more sense the more distance you get from that time.
Yeah, no, that's such a great way to put it. And yeah, the NFL is just even so unique in that, you just said it never stops turning. I mean, you win the Super Bowl and they're not going to pause the combine for you. They're not going to say, oh, you won the Super Bowl. Oh, okay, we'll slow down the combine for you. We'll slow down the draft process. We'll slow down free agency. Nope. Your wheel does not stop spinning, even though you are in an entirely different place mentally. And, you know, what's the thing about, you know, the dog that caught the car? And then it's like, well, what do you do now? Like, you've caught the car, like you're here, you've achieved your goal, but yet it doesn't stop. It keeps going. And to have to process that in real time, I can't imagine what that's like for people in the organization. And Jordan, I don't want to, I didn't intend for this to be a commercial or a teaser, but like, I know you're working on some stuff. I'm not going to spoil it.
I did not actually have time off, Rich. I've been working on stuff.
Of course you didn't.
But yeah.
No. I know you took, well, actually happy belated birthday for one thing. I know I don't know whether that got enough attention as it deserved online, but I hope you were able to enjoy that day. But yeah, I didn't intend this to be a teaser or anything, but I know you're working on some stuff, and I'm not going to say exactly what it is or what the angle is, but it's going to peel back even more of this stuff that we're talking about and put it in that context a year later, and also kind of put it in some context of what it means for the future. And I'm very excited about that. And I don't want to put any more pressure or anything else on top of that, but you've told me a little bit of what you've got and what you're doing, and I'm super, super excited to hear what's coming. So
thank you. But, and in the meantime, we've just got the Rams continuing to solidify their offensive staff. And, you know, I appreciate, you know, all the questions too and interaction with like, well, who are they interviewing and all this stuff. So the Rams, they go, especially after Sean McVay's staff has started to get poached as much as it has, they've started to go so much deeper under the radar with even who they're bringing in for interviews, like to the point where, you know, oftentimes when you hear about people interviewing with teams, the agent is the one leaking that information. But this is to the point now where they're having to take certain measures to not put out or like not have it known who they're interviewing, to the point where now even the agents are sort of, I wouldn't say directed, but I would say it's very surprising to see any of it leak. The Mike LaFleur stuff was sort of like that information that I got in mid-January was sort of all in a sort of a word vomit situation that was happening. Mm-hmm. So that was not even, and so that was like the rare instance of that was the, you knew the direction and that's it. But like the with the offensive line coach, for example, like they've been interviewing candidates and some significant NFL names as well that they might, you know, at a certain point have to be a little bit more creative with due to, you know, personal circumstances and you know, what the layout of their staff is going to look like and some of those types of things. And then they're also on, obviously on the other side waiting for the Indianapolis Colts to at some point make their decision on who they're hiring for their head coach, Raheem Morris being a finalist for that. But the point being is, you know, I get, the people who probably are asking the most questions are not, maybe not listening to this podcast, but the point is it's very interesting. The process, how quiet the process is so kept relative to other teams, like you're seeing with the Colts or you're seeing with the Panthers, who are kind of like, look who we're getting and all this stuff. When it's the Rams, it's like, okay, it's sort of like what we've seen happen to them in free agency. It's like, if it becomes known who they're targeting, that person, they better sign that person in because they're going to get other phone calls. So that's very interesting, a very interesting part of like kind of where they're at as a franchise at this point. Yeah. You know?
It reminds me, not that I ever did this, Jordan. So, you know, I'm of course talking about other people, but it reminds me of being in school and you had the one friend who you knew did the homework. You know, you knew did the reading and you're like, hey, what can I take a look at that real quick? You know, and I feel like that's kind of what's going on with the Rams, or at least how they kind of perceive it. It's like, hey, we don't want people to know who we're interviewing here because then their phone's going to start lighting up.
And the other thing is they don't officially lock. They usually officially lock everyone in at once. Mike being a little bit of a different situation because he was, you know, already out of a job in New York. Right. But they usually lock everyone in at once. So if they don't keep it quiet enough during the time leading up to it, and they're not officially formally signed all together and filed over to the league together, then anything could happen. We've seen it happen before. We saw Vic Fangio take his time after that was leaked, that he was signing a deal with the Dolphins. He even got on the phone and was like, hey, I'm actually haven't decided yet. You know, these things, none of this stuff is official until so, but what I can say is that, you know, it's, you make that decision as a responsible person to sort of sit on something until it's officially official, because you know of what the league dynamics are and how people could swoop in at the last minute, and also how certain adjustments they're making on, you know, on the offensive side and the way that they're sort of designing out their staff, they're having, and whether it ends up this way or not, I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, they'll have some creative discussions about various consultants and various people who would possibly weigh in on different things. And Sean McVay has sort of been vocal about feeling stuck and like wanting to, I mean, previous to the end of the season, feeling stuck and wanting to problem solve in different ways. And it was very clear when he moved on from some of his assistants that he needed more ideas. He needed new people coming in. And he's sort of always done that when he's gone out and hired coaches. But I think they're thinking about ways to not be stuck anymore and to keep moving this thing forward. And that's to say too, and Mike LaFleur let this slip a little bit yesterday. Today's Wednesday when we're recording this, but Tuesday he had his virtual press conference with a couple of Los Angeles reporters, myself included. And he sort of let it slip, like next week is the week that they'll all really start digging into the roster. So I would expect, you know, by the time you listen to this, they could have news. Recording Wednesday morning before noon. And on that note, though, like next week is the week that they'll all really start digging into the roster. So if you haven't heard of news by now, you probably will soon. I think they're tying up some loose ends. And then they, I think, really hope that the Indianapolis Colts have come up with some sort of some sort of answer as they enter week 5 of their head coaching search.
I mean, my goodness, like, pick a lane already, guys, really? Like, but and obviously you mentioned that Jordan Raheem Morris is in the mix there still. He's considered a finalist, I guess it would be fair to say. So we don't know what's going to happen there. And there's a little bit of, and I'm not saying anybody's complaining about this, but a little bit of hand tying there to see what's going to happen. Obviously, if they lose Raheem Morris, if the Rams do, it changes the entire complexion of things, of the staff, who you're going to bring in, what... And I'm not just talking about the defensive coordinator. I'm talking about, down the chain, down the line there. So that's
yeah,
a big thing.
Because people would leave with him, I would assume. Like,
yeah.
The thing that people don't understand about this situation that they need to, and again, the people who are maybe the most vocal in their repeated sort of criticism of this one person is like, there are people on the coaching staff that would go with him. There are players who would want to go with him. There are people on the training staff who would want to go with him. There are people in the front office who would want to go with him.
Right.
There are people on the support staffs and the various, every inch of the building, there are people who would want to go with him.
Right.
And it's not to say that they don't like where they're at. It's just to say that is who Raheem Morris is inside the building. And it's not something that fans are privy to every single day. I understand that, but it is something to reiterate here. It's an important variable here. It does have a massive implication on the building if they cannot keep him in the role that he's in. And, you know, I think they would have been more prepared for this had he gotten the fair looks at DC that he should have gotten after the Super Bowl season. And they would have been more prepared to restructure their defensive staff. But now, not only, you know, there are still people who could come in and coordinate a good defense for this team, but it does, it has a significant ripple effect on every part of the building. I mean, the Rams were lucky when all Kevin O'Connell took was Wes Phillips and Tyler Williams, and still a significant loss.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's, you know, and so I just want to say, like, you know, I get being frustrated about where the defense was. The defense did not play up to where it needs to be. It did not look like the version of what it needs to be. It did not do all of the things that we know that this scheme is supposed to do. And for all the reasons that we've outlined in, oh my God, at this point, millions of words, whether or not that's being heard, fine. But like, okay, there's some significant ripple effects on the rest of the ecosystem of the organization, including the head coach as well, by the way, and the culture within that building and how that staff, who people on that staff gravitate to and who people within the building gravitate to and seek advice from. Like, there's a significant ripple effect if they lose him. And so they do. And that's the thing. I get the hand wringing. Like, I'm, you know, as a journalist, you know, I don't join in on that stuff, but it's like, I completely understand where fans are coming from, where they're like, okay, Colts, like, let's make a decision here, guys. Cause, you know, they've kind of got the Rams caught between a rock and a hard place here.
Yeah, and it ties back into a lot of these things that we're talking about. I mean, you start the even, you know, player evaluation. Which guys do you want to bring back? Which ones, you know, might you have to cut loose? How do those guys factor into the scheme that you might end up playing if you have to change coordinators? Draft evaluation going on. Who are you targeting? What positions are you going to value? And I know, like, and I'm not saying also that the Rams don't have secondary plans here. I mean, we've talked about that on recent episodes where they have some ideas here. If Raheem were to move on, you know, who might fill that role? What would we do? It's not going to start from square one. But to your point, Jordan, it's still a significant adjustment that would have to take place.
And they wouldn't get their top choice either, because Ajero Evero would have been their top choice to fill that position. And that was something that had been discussed. So, you know, and he is going to be the defensive coordinator in Carolina now. And so I think that that's something where, yes, there's always multiple plans, but the top choice would have been somebody who also, by the way, was a finalist for the Colts job, but maybe had heard some things about the way the direction it was going and all of these conversations that are going on behind the scenes, and takes the Carolina job and probably is handed, well, reportedly is handed a significant bag of money to do so, which good for him. And so now, again, that changes up the entire thing, because the Rams, they weren't considering a wholesale scheme change. And if you consider a wholesale scheme change, you have to speed up the overhaul of your roster, maybe in ways that you weren't going to do that in 2023. Whether that stays the same 2024 through 26, I don't know. But this is a scheme that, you know, Sean McVay is enamored with. It's something that is, when it's done right, as we've seen, again, we've seen proof, more proof of it being great than not, by the way, from a variety of different coaches who have run it. And when it works in the league, it really, really works, as Ajero Evero has proved, and Brandon Staley that last month that he actually took back over and called the defense and all these types of things. We've seen that this is the dominant defensive strain that's happening right now and evolving forward in different ways and different mechanisms. And Vic Fangio is now back in the league, so everyone's going to get to pull off his page once again, like after they see what he does in Miami. And so, and McVay, Sean McVay is like pretty enamored with it. And especially in terms of curbing passing attacks and making sure it sets the table for the offense and those types of things. And so it's not like they were planning on starting from total scratch this year. I mean, even if they lost Raheem, they wanted to get someone in who could move this scheme in the system forward. Mm-hmm. If Raheem stays, there are going to be some reinforcements on his staff. You can go read my articles back to mid-January, some of the names that have been connected to the Rams. And so I think that, you know, you can see where some of the developing processes with these assistant coaches maybe is going to be overhauled and needs to be moved forward in terms of the young players that they're getting. And I think, like, it's just the waiting, I think, is what's fairly and rightfully, I think, driving fans crazy, and certainly is sort of keeping at least one phase of what the Rams can do in limbo right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are significant things, because, like you said, there's a lot of dominoes that fall there. It's not just one coach. It goes down to your whole staff and your whole roster at some point. So Colts, come on, man, make a move. Do what you need to do. And
what you guys doing over there?
The rest of us need to move on with our lives. So pick a name out of a hat, whatever it is you need to do. I mean, it's a big decision. So they're obviously doing their diligence, and we'll see what happens. But
I mean, there's diligence, and then there's just, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
there's a lot of words.
Like, what are you going to learn? I mean, yeah, I'm not even going to go there. Like, what are you going to learn that you haven't learned? I mean, yeah.
I know.
Work smarter, not. Long.
It's a complicated organization, that's for sure. So let's pivot back a little bit, Jordan, because the one thing we do know, at least, is that Mike LaFleur is the new offensive coordinator. And of course, you had been reporting on that for quite some time, that he was the person that they were looking at, and that could get done. And it did officially now. He's been announced. He's been introduced, as you said, you beat reporters the other day. And, you know, those introductory news conferences always a little bit, you know, the guy's just been hired, you know, he probably hasn't had a lot of time to sit down and go through meetings and things like that. But just curious, Jordan, and by the way, if anybody didn't catch up on that, Jordan has a story on the Athletic app website right now that you can check out, that recaps all the highlights and insights into how that went down yesterday on Tuesday. But you know, Jordan, one thing we heard, which is, you know, something that you've again reported and reiterated throughout, is that at this time there's no plans for Sean McVay to hand over play calling duties, anything like that. Mike LaFleur said he seems comfortable with that. My question, Jordan, is what it's a very large question, so I apologize for that. But in an ideal situation, what can Mike LaFleur do here? Like, if we look back a year from now and we say that worked, Mike LaFleur had a positive impact on this offense, on this team, on Sean McVay. I guess I'm asking you specifically for your opinion, but if we're able to look back and say that a year from now, what does that mean? What does that look like?
Yeah, it's a big question. Well, for starters, it's not going to be play calling unless something dramatically changes from the time I'm speaking to, you know, September. That's something that Mike LaFleur seemed comfortable with not having to do, not doing as a part of this staff. He brought up his time with Kyle Shanahan, and he didn't do that when he was with Kyle. And on the micro, I think what they're looking at is more cohesiveness between some of the foundational concepts of run and pass within this system. You know, the Rams, since they lost Todd Gurley, essentially, or they lost a healthy version of Todd Gurley, they've had trouble really, truly blending the run and the pass. And I think you have to look at a variety of factors for that, including personnel and injuries and moving to a two-back set with two running backs that, you know, couldn't stay healthy. And then they started to promote Cam into the lead back at the end of that year. And then, you know, he got hurt. And then they sort of starting from scratch with Daryl and Sony and trying to figure out, you know, how much of a pitch count Daryl would need to be on and those types of things. And that contributed to so much of what went has gone wrong. This last year, you really saw when, you know, Thomas Brown took back over the run game. You really saw it start to mature and manifest into what it's supposed to look like for the Rams. And you also saw that with the quarterback, when the quarterback had to be more dependent on the run because Baker Mayfield is not the type of quarterback that can make every throw in terms of that pure drop back arm angle stuff. Like, you sort of then become more dependent on the play action. Well, even though analytically speaking, you don't necessarily need to have an outlier run game to establish play action, it certainly helps to have a consistent run game in order to establish a significant play action passing game. And so because Baker Mayfield needed that play action, then they needed to really dive and invest more into what they were doing in the run game. And so basically, I think having those focus points, not just for the run game and the people who are designing and organizing that, but also having it more collaborative and cohesive with the pass game. And that can come to, that can be the way that they communicate, the way that they structure meetings, the type of collaboration between the offensive coordinator and the running backs coach, the type of things that happen, you know, outside of the passing designs. And I think you also see it, you want to make sure too that there's consistent attention paid to, are we leaning too much on this quarterback's arm? Is the quarterback wanting to lean too much on his arm? Is the quarterback wanting to do more of this? How can we make sure that we're doing the A-plus things that the quarterback is an A-plus player at doing, but also investing enough time and calls and actual in-game situations during the course of a play call, through the course of a call sheet for a game? How can we make sure we're also investing enough time in patience, in truly marrying the run and the pass, despite maybe what the quarterback wants or maybe what the head coach wants? Because I think we know that Sean McVay can be an impatient play caller as well. So I think all of that to say, it's a little bit complicated, but what I think, it's no small task for Mike LaFleur to not only become aware and understand how inconsistent and maybe not cohesive those dynamics have been over the last couple of years. And I think part of that is a lack of communication and maybe a little bit of doing maybe what they wanted to do. They wanted to push the passing game forward. And so they did, but then they left behind their run game in the process, right? We saw the rubber band effect in 2021 when they won the Super Bowl, when they kicked the doors down with a drop back passing game, despite us not really knowing whether they had a run game at that point, because, you know, Cam was hurt and we, you know, Daryl was on a pitch count the whole year and it's Sony and you just didn't know. And then once the pass game stopped working because teams adjusted and Matthew Stafford's elbow started flaring up, then they completely pivoted into a heavy set downhill run game. And that was the rubber band effect. Well, how about you start a year where you have both options available to you and you don't worry about what happens if one of them shits the bed? So yeah. I think that's kind of what, like I said, it's a big question. So it's a big answer. This is like the big thing for Mike LaFleur is understanding those dynamics and really being self-aware about what that is And for, also for Sean McVay being self-aware of what that is and really understanding how you can quite literally marry these rooms and these spaces together internally so that it manifests outside on the field. I don't know if that's going to happen that way, but I would say that if Mike LaFleur can't do that or doesn't have a significant voice in doing that, you will see it because this is a hard on its sleeve football team. I say that all the time. Like you can literally see what's going on with them internally by looking at the product on the field. And so if you see that lack of cohesion or maybe impatience in certain elements of the run or the pass that they do, then you can absolutely be sure that those conversations aren't as collaborative as they need to be internally. So I think that that's where Mike LaFleur has a big responsibility. And also I think when the Rams have been at their best, they've been at the front of stuff, like pushing the game into new directions, whether as an organization, whether as a football team on the field, pushing things forward, moving the conversation forward, and other teams maybe having to catch them. And I think that's kind of what they are wanting to do, get back to, is forcing their own catalysts in that way. Now, with Mike specifically, I don't know what that looks like, because when we talked to him yesterday, it was sort of, it just felt very like tenets of the offense that sort of are known at this point. Mm-hmm. And so I think as he gets more settled in and we start to see more of his personality, and I hope his personality does emerge and we start to understand like what his core tenets are of as a coach, as a teacher, like what his, you know, what types of things, like what type of ingenuity does he prefer? Like where, like I was asking him yesterday, like, where do you get your ideas from? What what inspires you and all this stuff. And at some point I hope we get a sort of non-prepared answer because I think that's why Sean hired him, was so that, you know, to give this place and give Sean a little bit of a spark that clearly Sean thinks is there. And I'm interested to see how that truly manifests and unfolds.
Yeah, and you hit on something, Jordan, that's interesting to me, too. Obviously, I don't know if it's obvious, but yesterday, Tuesday, Mike LaFleur was the only one who spoke, which is common for these types of things. I'm not being critical, but at some point, Sean McVay will talk also. I don't know at what point that will be. I don't remember the rhythm of the offseason, but at some point he'll talk. And the answers that I'll be interested to read, to hear is, you know, what does he think? What, like, how does he plan to utilize Mike LaFleur? What is he... when he decided to bring him in, what was it that he valued? What is it that he's going to lean on in these ways? So, I mean, it's one thing to ask Mike LaFleur those questions, and I think they're good questions, and it's interesting to hear what he says about philosophy and about, you know, offense and all that. But to me, almost the bigger question or the more interesting questions are going to be to Sean in terms of like, well, why, you know, what are you hoping to accomplish here, basically, and how do you think that Mike is going to help you accomplish that? So will it be different? Will he rely on his offensive coordinator in different ways, in bigger ways? I mean, those are the things that I'm going to be interested in.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
What I think I would like to see, just as someone who sort of studied the dynamics of the structure of that building and all the stuff, is what I think I would like to see is somebody who actively takes it upon themselves to open up more of the conversations with the staff as a whole, instead of separate conversations happening about, this is how we're going to design the pass game, this is what run calls we want, you know, with input from the running backs coach. I think what I would like to see, and I think would be, would make them a better football team in general, and I think would give Sean McVay the spark that he is wanting, is a lot more of that two-way communication between run and pass game, because all of these buildings in the NFL, they say that they want to marry the run and the pass. All of these Shanahan systems, they say they want to marry the run and the pass. But the only buildings that I kind of had known about actually doing it in a way that's like structurally functional and not just like on the field with what's the words are on the call sheet, is between Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniel. And that was like a very, I need Mike McDaniel's ideas and, you know, how do we use this to set up this? How do we tweak this to set up this? How do we kind of do all these things? But the run and the pass, I mean, you know, I know this is like, and fairly, rightfully so, this is going to be an anti 49ers crowd listening to this podcast. Definitely get it. Not trying to be effusive in any praise or anything right. like that, but right. you have to admit the run and the pass and the way that, that the quarterback has to basically do nothing to, you know, have a effective downfield game, like in terms of what the run and the pass did, you could see quite literally, you could see that collaboration and two-way communication. And I think in so many buildings in college and the NFL, the run game is so separate from the rest of the offense because it is such a huge role. It is such a huge job to basically be the head coach of a specific facet of that game, a specific facet of the offense in general that requires so much. It's not just the calls of the offense as a whole, but also blocking assignments and also the responsibilities, all the different types of layers that get input there. And so it's basically like head coaching an entire like miniature org in that space. And so I think it's, to me, a consistent mistake that places make to have that be so separate and function as its own entity outside of like the talking about play design and talking about passing game and those types of things. Like, I think all of that can be so much more functional as a collaborative approach. And that truly would be marrying the run of the path. Like, hi, we're sitting yeah. next to each other in this meeting. Like, we're literally marrying the run of the pass. And I think that would be something where I would hope that, because it sounds like Mike LaFleur's seen that firsthand, what happens when it works and what happens when it's functional. And so I would hope that that's something that he brings into this space. We'll see. But that's something that I would hope for the entire staff and for the offense and for everyone's, I think, sort of continued mental well-being, frankly.
Jordan, we're going to need one of our talented listeners, our creative listeners, to come up with some kind of meme or graphic about marrying the run in the pass. Like, we're going to need them. Like,
well, it's the meme of altar. Sisyphus and the boulder.
Like, for some teams,
yeah.
it is. Yeah.
For some teams. Yeah.
great stuff, Jordan. Yeah, and I totally agree. And a lot of that stuff is going to happen. I mean, we're going to see the fruit of it eventually, or not see the fruit of it, I guess, depending on how things go. But, you know, so much of that is going to be taking place behind closed doors. You're not going to see it probably happen, play out in real time. But hopefully, if you're the Rams, if you're a Rams fan, hopefully you see the fruit of that start to develop in the fall, and you see that transformation start to take place. I agree, Jordan. It's been, you can, my gosh, we could spend hours going back to the, you know, the downfall of the Todd Gurley era and how that changed things and how things, how they tried to change things, how they succeeded, how they failed. I mean, that to me, as you indicated, Jordan, a big pivot point. I think it's fair to say that much. You can then get off into a lot of arguments about, you know, who did what and who was to blame and what they tried and what they didn't try. But to me, that's the big pivot point in the offense. And so if they can get back to a little bit more of that, whatever form that takes, whatever personnel that involves, then I think that's probably the best thing from the Rams' perspective that could come of this. So very, very interesting. The hire makes sense. You certainly, given what the backgrounds are and the personalities and you know the history and all that, it certainly makes sense. So I think when a hire is made, that's the best thing you can say. And then, you know, we'll see the fruit of it. We'll see what happens over the next few months here. So
yeah, we'll see how it goes. Sean McVay definitely has a type of coordinator that he goes after. So We'll definitely see how it goes. And I think it must be such a whirlwind, trying to finalize that staff. I think you would have hoped, if you were them, to have everything done, maybe a little bit sooner, but again, the things with Indianapolis, have sort of complicated things a little bit.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. Like Jordan, you pointed out, I'm not trying to repeat anything, but for anybody who might have missed it or not have heard, like they'll probably, and like you had, I'll tease it. You had one tidbit in your column yesterday about a hire that the Rams are going to make, and some of these things will come out. But again, so fluid, and so things can change. Guys can leave. You know, there's a lot that can happen here over.
Yeah,
the next,
I mean, we saw it like last year. Yeah. That's what I was saying. It's like you got to be real careful with this stuff, and like. My role is as a reporter and not necessarily a high profile insider or anything like that. And so for me, it's like, you got to report what's real. And if something's not real yet, it's not something that you should report. But it's interesting because we saw it this last year. We saw Jake Peets was like going to Nebraska for sure. And then, oh wait, no, he's not.
Right.
And then we saw, and it was, this ended up being real, obviously, but then it was like Liam Cohen's decided he's going to Kentucky like a month before it actually happened. But it was like, then Liam is like, actually, no, I haven't told them anything. I haven't signed anything. So at that point it gets really dangerous to, yeah, that's anyway, that's the whole messiness.
Yeah, no, it's,
this whole time of year is very messy.
So. Yeah, things can be true at the time, but you have to remember that in the context too. Things can change in life. So and understand, especially, you know, in this era of social media or whatever have you, you put something out there and then people will jump on you if things change, and the thing that you accurately reported at the time ends up changing later on. So there's that. That's what makes Jordan such a responsible reporter, for one thing, is that there's no harm in waiting to see how these things play out. And I know what the information that's in Jordan's head. If we could do a mind meld or something and get some of that out of there, I know fans would love that. But it's all going to be presented in the right way and in a responsible way. So that it'll come
and
out
in therapy.
Time. And, oh, I hear you. Stay tuned for all of that. Hey, before we go, Jordan, we're not big on predictions here. We've never been, and I'm a terrible predictor anyway. You know football as well as anybody that I know, if not more. Any Super Bowl thoughts? I think it's going to be an interesting game. Like I'm excited for it with the styles here. But I mean, what do you think? Do you have something, you know, firmly in mind?
Yeah, I'm excited to watch it. First of all, like I said, it's been a really fun last couple of weeks. Like we talked about before, it's like getting to watch the games with no responsibilities and no, you know, don't have to take notes or anything. And like, it's not to say that I don't like being there. It's like the best job in the world. I love it so much. But like, to just sit there and like absorb how awesome some of this football we've seen over the last couple of weeks has been really, really outstanding. I'm taking the Eagles. I mean, I freaking love how loose they're playing. I love how they've rallied around Jalen Hurts. I love Jalen Hurts's story. I love how the head coach is like starting to like physically embody the city that he's in. Yeah. I mean, I love all of that. It is so cool when that type of thing happens. And it's so cool to see, this team, and I think the Rams should be looking at the Eagles very closely. They've got a lot of connections with the front office there. They've got friendships with the front office there. And I think the Rams should be looking at, you know, the types of things that happened over the last 5 years with the Eagles, you know, two Super Bowls. What is it? Two and five, Rich?
I think so. Yeah,
and I think that the Rams should be kind of looking at the way that the Eagles thought outside the box. And, you know, that is not to discount the Chiefs at all. Patrick Mahomes is magic. He's historic. He's the best player in the NFL. Certainly the best quarterback. And I think everything he does is so much fun. I love the way Andy Reid thinks about collaboration and design and how nothing's impossible when they open up their offensive playbook. Like, I just love that. I think that's so cool. It's probably so healthy as well. But at the same time, like, I love the energy that the Eagles are bringing. I love that offensive line. It's a work of art, the way that they play and the way that they play together. Some of the concepts that they do, the way that they sell out totally for each other. I have to pick the Eagles. I think they're so much fun. I think they're what football is. I think they're what modern football is. I think they're what old school football is. I think they're so balanced. They're so much fun. The defense is fun as hell to watch. Another offshoot of the Vic Fangio, Brandon Staley system that Jonathan Gannon is running. I just love the energy that they have. It's very, very fun. An example of what can happen with a successful pass rush with this defense, by the way, just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just think that, I just love everything about them right now. So I think I'm absolutely going for the Eagles. And, you know, we did say some nice things about San Francisco earlier. So I think Rams fans, you can forgive me because it was pretty awesome to how much fun the Eagles have been having through this entire ride here.
Oh yeah. Really been enjoying watching them. Yeah. For me, it's been really a kind of a head versus heart thing. Like I feel a lot of the same sentiments that you do about the Eagles. And I think like, this is the team. And then the little part of my brain clicks in and says, yeah, but the Chiefs, like,
yeah, but like Patrick Mahomes.
But Patrick Mahomes, yeah. Like you've got to, you know, knock them off the top of the hill and, you know, the stuff that they've been able to do, you know, with Patrick's ankle being bad that last week. And, you know, then he proves that he can just kill you from the pocket too. And so I'm very much stuck on that. Like my head is telling me, don't, you know, the Chiefs, they're the best team. And then I look at everything else and I think, but the Eagles are just playing with such cohesion, like you said, and you watch them every week and they look so connected. And if, you know, I'm talking about from the coaching staff to the players, within the players, the front office, that it just seems like such a connected group that really understands each other. And you see the results on the field. They've been so impressive. I think they're the team. I think they're the team for the moment is kind of the way that I would put it.
I do have one great story, and it's like, as a human, I'm very, very happy for this one person. There's a cornerback on the Eagles, James Bradbury, one of the nicest people you will ever meet in your entire life. One of my favorite players I've ever covered. We came into the league at the same time. He was drafted by the Carolina Panthers out of Samford. And it was the early story I heard about Steve Wilks that made me believe Steve Wilks was going to be a head coach and should be a head coach, was that the coach who was supposed to help them work out, James Bradbury, down in Alabama on a visit before the draft, got sick and couldn't attend. So Steve Wilks went, and that coach was supposed to sort of run through a couple of combinations with James, was supposed to sort of act as the receiver. They were testing him out to see what he looked like in press man, and how he could jam, you know, off the line. And Bradbury, knowing that Wilks was about to be his defensive, could be his defensive coordinator, had a big say in whether or not he got drafted, just said, screw it, and went all out in his workout, to the point where Steve Wilks would tell the story. He had these like insanely massive bruises all over his chest and torso because of the way that James Bradbury was jamming him off the line of scrimmage. And he would tell that story, you know, years later as sort of laughing, like, yeah, he beat the shit out of me and we still drafted him. And the day he got drafted, he was at his mom's house in a small town in Alabama, and he was fixing her toilet because the draft was going and he didn't think he was going to get drafted till way later, at least day three. So they didn't have a party, nothing. He was just upstairs fixing the toilet. And then, you know, he went on to have a great career in Carolina. They moved on. They had coaching changes, went to the Giants. The Giants obviously sort of gave up on him, and, you know, previous staffs, Dave Gettleman. And then, you know, now he's playing in the Super Bowl. And I just think it's really cool. I root for people who are good people. I root for great stories. Super, super happy for James Bradbury and all that he's accomplished to get to this point. Super happy for everybody who's playing this weekend. There's a lot of great stories on both sides of the ball. There's a lot of great people, in the support staffs, as we saw firsthand last year, how much of an effort it is to get a team into the big dance. And I think that it's going to be such a cool experience for everybody. So really stoked to see how this one plays out.
Yeah, yeah. So I love that, that's where you're, it says so much about you, Jordan, that that's where your mind goes, is like all these great stories that are that are told. Like that's like you in a nutshell, is like that's exactly where your brain goes. It's like something's happening, I could tell some amazing stories based out of this. So that's so cool to hear, and I love that that's your first that's where your mind goes when you think about these games and these players. So nice segue, because like I said, there's a lot more to come. I didn't even get to mention, I intended to talk about, Jordan, your story that ran Monday about the free agents that the Rams that they are facing in terms of unrestricted free agency. We can get into that a little bit more, but that's going to play into a lot of what we talk about here. There's some defensive names on that list too, at the top of that list, actually, that you created, that they're going to have to make decisions on, and you know, how does that impact, how is that impacted by the staff and by changes that might be made or decisions on other side of the ball? Like there's a lot of things that go hand in glove here that that we're going to need to talk about. But get yourself a little bit of a primer. You can go read Jordan's story about that right now and study up, so that when we talk about this next time, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. I know, Jordan, you've got some awesome stuff coming. So excited. And I won't say too much beyond that. But what I will say is that, thank you again to our subscribers. Really appreciate it. The off season is there's so much going on. I remember saying this last year too, there's always something to talk about. There's always something to write about. We really appreciate you being with us, listening, subscribing, everything. Thank you so much. And
we love you guys. We are just full of gratitude for sure. Yeah. It's pretty awesome. Amazing. Yeah. Love you guys. Love you guys. Always like being interactive, giving feedback, definitely keep sending questions whenever you have them. I'll do my best. If I can't answer them, I will do my best to answer them. And really appreciate it. We are, like you said at the beginning of this, Rich, it's crazy to think of sort of the ride that we collectively have all been on over the last year. And I hope you guys, even though the league moves so fast, I hope you guys all take some time before this next Super Bowl sort of kicks off here, to really think about, everything that's happened. It's been so much, and we all have our own lives outside of it. And we all have, most of us have our own lives outside of it. And like, we all have things that happen and all that, but it is such a cool thing to reflect on all of the little moments that lead up to it, because I think this league moves so fast that we don't take enough time to be present in that. And it's really important, I think, for all of us to do, but we really appreciate it.
Great, great point, Jordan. And that's by design. The NFL wants to, the NFL isn't stupid. You can say a lot of words about the NFL. Stupid is not one of them. They keep themselves in the forefront 12 months out of the year, basically. So there's not a lot of natural rhythm there to take a step back. So, but Jordan, your perspective, always, always appreciated. Again, if you're not a subscriber, please join us. Join the club, join the party. You can go right now to theathletic.com/11personnel, get all of Jordan's amazing coverage, and her favorite thing in the entire world, which is what?
A great discount, you guys, every single time. It's fun because Rich will like mute his mic now and throw his hands up as I say, a great discount. One day we'll turn it into a meme or something, but once we get a little bit more internet savvy. But it is just my favorite thing in the world. I can't believe they're still letting us do this and tell you guys about it, where every single time you sign up to The Athletic through the 11 Personnel podcast, you get my favorite thing in the world, which is a great discount. You guys, we will still be checking in with you. There's still a lot going on. It's going to be it already is a big off season for the Rams. More things, more chaos, more crazy, more fun, more weirdness will be in store. So thanks for following along, and we'll be with you every step of the way. Make sure you are taking care of each other and yourselves, especially during this time. The seasons start to change. Make sure you're checking in on yourself regularly and being there for others. Make sure you're staying caffeinated and hydrated. Catch you next time.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.